No kidding?
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
That was a joke.
Oh.
If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Well, hello and good morning. WSAU, I'm Tom King, and we are here in the studio as we are most Saturday mornings at this time with Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau, to take your financial questions at 715-845-2155. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning, Tom, and good morning, everybody. You know, folks, we'd like to welcome you to make sure you call this morning, 715-845-2155. Because if you're not calling, we don't have a time to make it to our Bloody Mary bar that we have here in the studio.
Oh, if only that were true.
I bet we could make it happen and ask for some volunteers to bring some in.
You know, the website where we get most of our information, or at least the information we talk about on Saturday mornings, is MarketWatch. And when I punched it up this morning, the first headline that jumps out at you this morning is probably not something that most people that invest in the stock market want to hear. It says, "In the know, insiders are now dumping their stocks. Corporate insiders are more bearish than they've been in almost 25 years.
Isn't that nice?
Now, obviously, we go through bull markets, we go through bear markets. Your suggestion is most times, if the market goes down, it is a good time to buy. But there has to be a time to sell, and Mark Hulbert, who we follow very closely on MarketWatch, is suggesting that this may be one of those times, especially in certain sectors of the market. Not all, but at least some.
Indeed. You know, and this is one of those times where I refer again to the aforementioned Bloody Mary bar. Not a bad idea to start having some cocktails today. You know, folks, we are here for your questions, but nonetheless, let's go through this, because I want to go through this article, and one of the things that we see in our news media and we see all the time is that you see negative, 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 and eventually becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, in my opinion. So, you know, is the stock market going to go down? Sure. And guess what? It's also going to go up. Who knows exactly what the case is? So I want you to listen, folks, as you're listening in here, because we're going to chat about this article. Because though it does have some points and some validity to it, we have an article that's literally right underneath it that talks about it from, of course, Warren Buffett, the Oracle of Omaha. I'm talking about some different things that just, in my opinion, just simply put a little bit of logic to a number of different things, which he certainly does. And at his age, I suppose people can listen because he has some years upon all of us. And when he started with nothing and, you know, is worth some $80 or $90 billion, Tom, mm-hmm. I'm thinking that maybe he's smarter than you and I about these things.
Yeah.
But then again, we have a radio program. He doesn't.
Well, he could if he wanted to.
He just owns,
I think he owns
radio
stations. He owns some radio stations,
so,
yeah.
Anyway, in here, in the article that they have, in the note, insiders are now dumping stocks. There's a thing called an insider, folks, which is people who have more information or supposedly to have more information that they trade on, that trades differently than you and I have because they have some sort of an insight. Now, by the way, insider trading, folks, is illegal. But the insiders are considered are the people who have more than 5% in a particular stock, as far as ownership goes, such as large institutions, mutual funds. So let's say if we have XYZ stock and they own 5% of that, they would be considered an insider. Of course, the officers, presidents, CFOs, board of directors, et cetera, inside of a corporation, they're considered insiders. So those insiders, when they have to sell a stock or they want to buy a stock, if it's their individual stock and they want to buy a large block of it, they actually have to file ahead of time so that the market and the economy knows that they filed ahead of time. Now, in that, it's normal for insiders to do a lot of buying and selling based upon where they think their stock is going to be or the profitability, but they have to do it based upon the information that's publicly that's out there. Does that always happen? Well, you be the judge. So in that, there's a lot of indexes that say, are the corporate insiders buying or selling? We look at those numbers. And the government version of this insider trading number is about where it's been, you know, the last number of years. It's really not all that big of a deal. It's as low as it was a year ago, but, of course, the market went up in the middle and all that sort of stuff. But there's a gentleman, and, boy, Tom, if you can help me on the spelling of his name, that'd be wonderful. A gentleman from the University of Chicago, Nijet Sehun. Well, that's the best I got. Comes up a little bit of a different spin on this, and what he does is he says, well, we're going to take the same insiders, but what we're going to do is we're going to carve out the mutual funds, the insiders, the people who own 5% of a particular stock going up. We're only going to take a look at the presidents, the CFOs, the direct officers inside of a company, and what are they doing? And when they do that, he comes through and says, well, you know, since he's been tracking this, which is in the 90s, the numbers right now, he says, are the worst that they've ever been, meaning that the insiders are selling their stuff off, and that indicates that they're as bearish as they've ever been. Well, that can also mean another thing. Folks, when you have a stock of a company and you're an insider of a company, let's say you're the president of a company or the chairman of the board or the chief financial officer, what happens in many instances, you have companies that will not only give you compensation for what you do, but they'll give you compensation based upon stock price. And if they give you compensation based upon stock price, it's usually in the form of options that can be exercised at a certain price. So with a lot of companies having their stock price at a high price, what would you think a lot of insiders would do, or an officer, or Tom, if you're the president of the company, look around and say, you know, it looks like the market might go down a little bit. This is at a high. Should we exercise some of those stocks? And the answer is yes.
Plus, I want to buy a yacht next week.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that as long as it's a nice one. I suggest about a 45, 47 Carver. I think that'd be wonderful.
Okay.
Nonetheless, I think there's a lot more of that going on than this being an indicator of the bearish marketplace. Now, here's the reason I say that. As he goes into his article and says, well, it definitively said in 2009 or 2007 that the stock market was going down, but I don't think that had anything to do with insiders. I think that had a lot to do with the financial markets. In my opinion, two separate things. And he says also in 2011 it was an indicator, though in 2011 we had more of simply a correction. Of course, 2011 is not on our radar because it went down, came back right back up again. So in this article, again, talks about that the market is going bearish, but then again we have Warren Buffett coming on the other side talking about, you know, why do we do anything? So on that, why don't we go ahead and grab a call, and we'll come back to Warren Buffett's.
Yeah, I want to talk more about this a little bit, but let's go to the phone here this morning. Good morning. Who are we talking to?
This is John, Tom. How are you there?
Good. Hey, John, you're on with Merle. Go ahead.
I've been listening to NPR this week, and they were talking about this one guy who's selling short and on this company, and then he's going out of his way to make sure this company is being investigated and doing pretty much everything in his power to make sure the company goes down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that...
He's trying to wreck his own company?
No, but he's selling... He's got shares, I guess. He's betting on it by selling short on it.
Oh, I see. Okay. That was a question I was going to ask you, Merle. What rules are in place to keep an insider from manipulating the price of the stock by, you know, using the selling and buying of the company?
There's tons of them. John, I'm guessing here this isn't an insider that's doing, is it? Is it?
No, it's not. But he's been, like, going lobbying, using lobbyists to get the Congress to investigate the company. He's been, like, on the news and going to different countries where the company is being used, where it's a dietary company. Uh-huh. He's calling it, like, a pyramid scheme.
Okay.
And he's selling short on it to, and then he calls it a pyramid scheme, and then he's going after everybody to investigate it.
Sure.
So that, it, you know, it will sell, the stock will go down.
Yeah. Well, you know.
And I'm just wondering. How legal is that?
I know there's, and I'm not an attorney. I don't even play one on TV. But in here, first of all, selling short for people who are listening is that you're betting that the stock price will go down. And so as the stock price goes down, you profit from doing so. You know, I know that there are rules in place. For example, is if John and I have a John, if you and I have a contract and Tom comes in and he's trying to do something to ruin the contract and break the contract before it's finished, I know there are rules in place that becomes not necessarily illegal, but it's suable, okay? And maybe it is illegal. I'm not really sure. And my guesstimation is that this might be the case in here if a person's using media lobbyists, spending money to purposely make the stock go down when you have a short position against it. You know, my guesstimation is he might actually have some suit in insider trading because he's trying to profit from something that he knows information about or is trying to cause. And so I don't know that there's a direct rule in this, but I think he could get himself in trouble in that sense. Is it right? No, I don't think it's wrong. In my opinion, it's got some ethical issues to it, whether there's any sort of a governing body that might go after him for him having ethics, but I don't think you should profit by turning in a company if the company's doing something wrong. And if the company's doing something wrong, fine, turn it in. But to purposely profit by doing it, I don't know if it's right.
All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 715-845-2155. Well, going back to the question I had before the call, rules that are in place to keep insiders from artificially manipulating the price of a stock by their choice of buying and selling at any particular time, selling their positions in the company.
Well, there's rules all over the place. Again, an insider can't just start buying and selling the stock. They have to pre-announce.
Well, I understand that, but say they decide to sell a huge chunk of their stock, even though they know that this is going to artificially affect. Obviously, when they sell a large chunk of the stock, it's going to artificially affect the price of the stock. They know that ahead of time, and so
right.
they can make plans or down the road or whatever.
And the market can make plans saying, Tom King's going to sell 1% of the company's stock, and he's the president of the company, so he's going to sell it off. The market knows that's going to occur. They know he's selling that amount of money. So people know that ahead of time. Now, if Tom King says, I'm going to sell my stock at 1% or 1% of my stock, and then immediately the next day after your 1% of the stock is sold, you make an announcement on behalf of the company that you lost half of your patent rights and the stock price is worth half as much. Now Tom King's probably in trouble because that announcement should have happened prior to the sale of your stock. And so there are rules that are out there in place for that. Going back to our friend John and this person selling the stock, and I don't know what stock this is or I don't know the whole story, but if this guy is truly indeed trying to cause for that stock to price to drop and for that company to fall on buying a short against the position, I'm pretty sure there's an issue with this, especially if any of the stuff that he's saying is actually incorrect or false or that whole bit. I'm guessing that the guy's probably going to be in trouble.
What if it's true, though? What if you own a big chunk of stock in a company and you find out that the company is doing illegal stuff, dumping chemicals or, as John suggested, running a pyramid scheme, that the company is actually a Ponzi scheme waiting to collapse at some point?
Well, then it should relatively quickly find out that it might be true. Still don't know if it's ethically right that you're selling the stock or shorting the stock as you're running out there and saying that this thing's going to fall apart and the stock price is going to go down. Here's why, and I'm blowing the whistle. But, that's up to them, I guess. It's not my thing. But you better hope that you're right.
Yeah, all right.
Remember, a short position has an unlimited loss if the stock price continues to go up and doesn't take that drop.
All right, 715-845-2155. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with more, and we'll find out what Warren Buffett has to say about this bear market situation that we're looking at. Back in a moment here on WSAU.
Paid for by Sansbury & Associates Investment Research.
Write this date down, April 24th, 2014. According to our research, that's when China is going to drop a bombshell on the American economy. I'm serious. What China reveals on this date could change everything about our lives. Even if you don't care about financial markets, this aggressive move by the Chinese will affect you. It could hurt the value of your home and destroy your retirement savings. Long term, every dollar in any U.S. bank account is at risk. Listen, I know this may sound hard to believe, but this situation did not happen overnight. China has been preparing for this day for over a decade. They hold a staggering $1.5 trillion of our debt, with little hope of being paid back. Please get the facts. Our financial experts have been watching this situation for 5 years, and they put their findings in a free video at www.thechinaplan1.com. There are simple steps you can take to protect your savings. Visit www.thechinaplan1.com.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that, overall, you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't seen your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed. And they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs. And it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Getting your child home safely.
Tap your heels together 3 times.
Is just a click away.
There's no place like home.
But making sure your child is in the right seat is just one of the steps down the road to safer travels.
I don't know how it works.
Find the right seat for your little one's age and size. Get home safely. Know for sure that your child is in the right seat.
How can I ever thank you enough?
Get all the facts at safercar.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Life is a grind. Pleasing your boss. Taking care of the kids.
Whatever.
Maintaining your home. Sometimes you just want someone to listen to you for a change. That's where we come in.
We're sick of the lies, the empty rhetoric, the pompousness of this president and his administration.
Seth Mila.
Completely. Totally. Can't disagree with you at all.
Giving you a place to vent.
I agree.
Huh. What was that?
WSAU.
And we're back here in the studio. I'm Tom King, along with Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau. Let's go back to the phone here this morning. Good morning. Who are we talking to?
This is Steve.
Steve, you're on with Merle. Go ahead.
Good morning, Steve.
Do you want to take calls that are not related to what you're talking about right at the present time?
Well, sure. If you have a financial question for Merle, anything is fair game. Go ahead.
All right. My mother just had a stroke and is in a rehab nursing home. And it does not look like she will be able to be on her own in the future. And with the home she owns and chunks of money in different places, is there any way I can go about protecting all this stuff? So when Medicare, if Medicare stops paying, they don't eat up everything that, you know, she's built up over the years.
You know, unfortunately, Steve, I think the probability might be no. But there's a few things you can do. There's a number of attorneys that are out there that do this type of work, and I suggest getting to them quickly. Now, in here, let me give you the names of a couple of firms. Of course, one who does our program here with us, Alan Holgum, and his firm does a good job with this. The Drock Law Firm does a pretty good job and does this stuff pretty quickly. But they usually what you look for what's called an elder care attorney. And you're going to want to see them, like, now.
Yeah, because we've had Alan on in the past. And it almost, if nothing's been done at this point, it may be too late. But but there probably are a few things that they could do. But, yeah, those are the people you need to talk to.
Okay. Drock, I'm familiar with. What was the first name that you mentioned?
Alan Holgum,
H-O-U-G-U-M.
I was going to put an A in his name.
Yeah,
but
just you can find Holgum.com. Alan Holgum is his law firm, and you give him a call. He's on the show on a regular basis when Merle's fishing or sleeping in for the day.
Or hunting or sleeping in, that's right.
But we'll have him on again in the near future as well. But give him a call.
Steve, all my best. Speed is of the essence on this, my friend.
Yeah, it may be too late at this point. Let's talk a little bit about going back to what we were discussing earlier, the possibility of a bear market coming down and the hammer dropping here. And Warren Buffett has his response to some of the things that are going to be that people are saying are going to be happening. And he takes sort of a contrarian view, although isn't that what Warren Buffett does many times when it comes to some of the big news that comes out?
If we look at this, there's an article that's out here just recapping if you're just joining into the program. And by the way, if you do have a question, folks, any question is open. It doesn't matter what it is. Us talking back and forth about articles is nothing more than banter waiting for you to come in with your brilliant insight and conversation and questions because all the stuff that we have is dribble and will change for next week.
No questions too big or too small, so give us a call.
That's right. If we don't know what it is, we'll guess. No, that's a joke. We don't know. All right. So recapping, there's an article that's out there right now. It says insiders are in the know and dumping. This comes from an article, Mark Hulbert. He wrote the article yesterday on 3/14/2014. In here, they talk about a gentleman from the University of Chicago. And the gentleman from the University of Chicago, okay, good Irish name again. His
Nijat Sihun.
Nijat Sihun.
He's from the University of Michigan, by the way.
That's right. He's still cold.
Right. Know,
they're still having cocktails up there. Anyway. In here, we have a normal thing where we take a look at an insider stock or insider trading ratio where you have an insider that's selling out stocks versus the amount that they're buying stocks inside of individual companies. That also includes large mutual funds, pension funds, institutions. And Nijat Sanhi, who is a professor of finance at the University of Michigan, has taken out the pensions and the mutual funds and so forth and the large holders and only went to the officers, essentially, and chairmen of the board inside of the companies and whether they're buying or selling. He says that index shows that the market is as bearish as it's been in 20-some years, according to the article, even though if we take a look at the regular measures, nothing's different than really than it was a year ago. So from this article, you read through, from that article it says that things are falling apart, and no, they do not say sell everything, run to cash, sell the house, run off, put the singles inside of your house. They do not say that. Inside of the article, they go through to say if you're going to sell some things, go ahead and do so, or move them into areas that might be better suited for doing a good job. In fact, They do not say, they say in here, there isn't any need to immediately sell your stocks as part of this article. They also say that in here, if you're inclined to do any sort of selling, make sure you're looking at some areas that are better, such as things, these sectors according to.
Well, they suggested energy, financials, and basic industrials.
That's right, staying away from capital goods, technology, and consumer durables. So, again, it kind of comes back to our conversation that we'd had last week and the week before. Make sure your portfolio is well diversified, and usually if it's things that are somewhat uncertain, you have some flights to quality or have some good quality stocks that have a long proven history of making money regardless of what occurs. Okay, bringing you up on that, folks, then, we turn to the conversations that our good friend Warren Buffett, you know, he should probably buy us lunch or something just for mentioning him so much on here. So in here, he's in having an interview with CNBC the other day. And a part of this, of course, they're not only talking about the March Madness NCAA stuff, in which, of course...
The bracket that Warren Buffett and the folks at Quicken Loans are backing, that will pay $1 billion for a perfect bracket.
If you get it perfectly right. And the odds,
which is impossible.
Which the odds are pretty good that won't happen. But in here, as part of the conversation, he said, well, the fears in the situation with Ukraine, everything that's going on inside of there... he just simply says, I don't know, and I'm quoting, I don't know whether or not it's warranted in the terms of the marketplace. I mean, I didn't sell my farm yesterday, and I didn't sell my property I own near New York, so why would I sell any of my businesses based on what's happening inside of Crimea? I don't even know if I'm saying that right.
Crimea.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Crimea sounds fun. It sounds like Chrome. So Crimea. So in here, Warren Buffett just simply says, you know, the things that are going to happen inside of Crimea are not that big of a deal. And he goes on and mentions that the U.S. economy is likely to grow in 2014, albeit while maintaining a pretty slow trajectory. And so he cautions against knee-jerk selling reactions. And hopefully if we've learned anything from this, folks, in the sense that, you know, is the stock market going to go up and down? Yes, it's going to go up and down. Do we do a knee-jerk reaction based upon this index that this person is talking to, or what's happening inside of the Ukraine? China might actually have more of an influence on what's going on there. China's slowing down. But in here, it's not. Don't take a knee-jerk reaction. Make sure you have a good quality portfolio. As always, make sure you're diversified. Take a look at your portfolio, and then build it for the long term. If you need to have some guarantees built in it, you can build some guarantees inside of your portfolio from an income standpoint. You can build some guarantees using municipal bonds, for example. From an income standpoint, you can build some guarantees in a portfolio using variable annuities if you're using some of their guaranteed minimum withdrawal benefits. Now, of course, these are not for everybody, but there's some things that can be done in a portfolio if you want to guarantee incomes. As far as rates of returns going up and down, if you want to guarantee that principal, you have to use the FDIC stuff, which, of course, the banks. And, Tom, what are they paying right now for a rate of return?
Usually zero or close to it.
Pretty darn close. Yeah. Okay.
All right, 715-845-2155. We need to take a break for some news, but the phone lines are open. Give us a call. We'll be right back here on WSAU.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Nowhere to be found. Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
No. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
News now from AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
I'm Tom King, WSAU News. Whatever happened to Malaysian Airlines Flight 370, it was likely not an accident. That's the word from Malaysia's prime minister 1 week after the jet vanished. Addressing reporters overnight, the prime minister said it's now clear that the jet's communications system was disabled and its transponder was switched off. He also confirms that the plane had deviated from its flight path. The people in Ukraine's Crimea region are getting ready to vote on whether to become part of Russia. The U.S. and its European allies say the referendum set for Sunday is illegal and unconstitutional because Russian troops are now in control of Crimea. And they also say if Russia doesn't make an immediate effort to negotiate with Ukraine and resolve the crisis, stiff sanctions against Russia could happen as soon as Monday. A Lac des Flambeaux drug overdose death has led to six arrests. The 54-year-old woman died back on March 3rd. Tribal police report they were called that afternoon and found the woman unresponsive. Attempts were made to revive her, but she was pronounced dead at the scene. The next day, Lac des Flambeaux police and state justice department investigators executed search warrants, which led to the arrests. All six people arrested are being charged with heroin distribution. The Badger men's basketball team wins in the Big Ten tournament, beating Minnesota 83-57. They take on Michigan State this afternoon. You can hear the game right here, pregame show at 2 o'clock. At the state boys basketball tournament, Nina, Germantown, Wisconsin Lutheran, Rice Lake, Brown Deer, and Lodi were all winners yesterday. The state title games will be held today. You can check out the schedule and the girls' basketball tournament schedule today as well on our website at WSAU.com. The weather, mostly cloudy and cooler with a high only up to 27. Overnight low tonight of 19. Sunny and chilly tomorrow with a high getting up to 23. For Monday, cloudy, a chance of some patchy light snow, a high of 31. And then Tuesday, cloudy with some snow likely and a high of 35. That's news and weather. I'm Tom King, Central Wisconsin's Fox News Station, WSAU.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
As the pitchers work to extend their arms and the hitters work on their swings, it's the little things, the fundamentals they're working on that really get them through a big league season. You know, like spitting, scratching, adjusting. We'll keep you up to date on all of it. The Brewers are right here. AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
And we're getting closer to opening day, aren't we? March 31st, the Brewers take on the Braves at Miller Park on opening day 2014. We are back here in the studio. I'm Tom King, along with Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau.
Folks, the opinions voiced in this program are for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. This show contains forward-looking statements which may not come true. Securities and Investment Advisory Services offered through HBEC Incorporated. Member FINRA SIPC. HBEC Incorporated and Kelch & Associates are unaffiliated company. And, folks, this program is intended for Wisconsin residents only.
All right, let's go back to the phone here. Good morning. Who are we talking to?
Jim.
Hey, Jim, you're on with Merle. Go ahead.
Morning, Jim.
Morning, Merle.
You seem way too chipper this morning. How many coffees you had?
Oh, God, it's a great day, man.
All right.
It's a great day. Merle, I have checked out a company from Texas that you form joint ventures to drill oil.
Okay.
And I have checked the company out. I have some friends down there, and there's a very reputable company. I'm just wondering if you had any exposure to that. As I understand, they go into a lot of the older oil fields. You aren't going to get a large gusher.
Mm-hmm.
They say the average return they have invested in the last 18 months, they've invested in 36 wells, and 24 have been successful.
Are they doing horizontal drilling?
Yeah, sometimes. Basically,
okay.
They don't, and because it's an older field. But what their expertise is, because of the new technology and exploration, that they can find pools that were minor, that heretofore they weren't available to them. The technology wasn't available.
Okay. Couple of quick questions on that, Jim.
Yes.
I have some familiarity. Now, I've never been out, although I have been to an oil field, I've never been out there with a pick licking it, you know, like Yukon Cornelius putting in the ground kind of thing. But in here, the things you want to watch for, my opinion, is that the company's doing it right. Are they doing any new seismic studies? Do they have the wherewithal to go through and do any new sky seismic studies? Because doing the 3D seismic, and I'm certain there's more evolutions from there, that's what's used to take a three-dimensional model of where the oil is inside of the ground. So a lot of times when these companies are doing it, they're doing a new study that's using something new inside of a field that this hasn't been done in a long time. They're getting a new model to see if there's any new oil on the inside or oil that was missed, and then they're doing some sort of a horizontal drilling on the inside to be able to pull that money back out, that money, well, I suppose it would be money, the oil back out, even sometimes doing a little bit of fracking within the area to try to get that oil to flow a little bit better. So those are the things that I would be looking at if this company is real and legitimate. Now, remember, my guesstimation is you're going to be in being one of the general partners to begin with. Am I correct?
Correct. You're a general partner. They sell interests of about 1.5%.
You know, the thing that I would suggest is to only invest enough money in this, and I can't say whether it's a good or bad idea. I can tell you the things that I know that you should be looking for that they're doing. If they're not doing some of those things, you know, I would maybe steer clear. But only put in enough money that you can afford to lose, and it's not going to kill you financially.
What, lose?
That's right. So if they're probably, you know, these the types of places I've seen them before, they're usually asking for $25,000 or $50,000, it seems. And if they're asking for that, make sure that if you're going to do this and you decide that option, that you're seeing that they're doing new electronics and new 3D seismic types of stuff to re-image what the oil is on the inside. They might be doing some fracking, but they've got to be doing some horizontal drilling or have that ability. Those are the things you should be looking at. They're doing. They have some success record, and then make sure that if you lose it, Jim, it's not going to kill you, and you know, you're not going to die.
As I understand it, if you are successful, you still can write off the, it's called indirect drilling costs, IDC.
Yes, the IDC, yep.
And they said that's approximately 50% of the total cost.
You know, Jim, there are places that are out there with much larger companies where you're a part of 150 or 200 wells with companies that have been doing this for 30 years that you had the ability to write off the IDC between 85 to 90%. So there are companies that are much larger that are doing this and companies that are huge versus a small company that you can get a better write-off and a higher probability of some return on your cash. There's better places that are out there than a small local firm.
Thank you so much. You're always a great source of information, and I listen to you every week.
All right. Thanks, Jim. I do appreciate it. Thank you much.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 715-845-2155. That number to call here. If you have a question for Merle, give us a call. I wanted to run this by you. We talked about it on the show before, but maybe not for a while. Maybe you could give us some insight as to what you tell folks if they come to you and say, you know, I've been doing this investing thing myself. I think I've got a pretty good handle on doing it myself. And I guess what would you tell them? And as far as, I guess, selling yourself would be the would be the operative term as to what you can do for them maybe better than they can themselves, and why they should use you as opposed to doing the online thing and going it alone.
You know, Tom, everybody out there has, and from a program I used to teach a long time ago, they called it the three T's, time, temperament, and training to be able to invest on your own. And if we have the time, the temperament, and the training, we can do a pretty good job investing on our own. Folks, the investment world isn't rocket science. It's just simply making sure you try to take the temperament or take the emotion out so you can simply look at the logic of the numbers behind it. You try to gauge, you know, some sort of direction on where you think the economy is going to go, and you try to do some research on whether or not the companies and or the mutual funds have some sort of a background, a profitability, or something that's familiar with you, that you can make a relatively good determination of whether that's going to be a good investment for you to hold for the long term. Folks, we can all do that. The problem is that the temperament comes in. We start getting emotional, first of all, and saying, oh, no, I just went down 10%. We start having knee-jerk reactions and pulling our money out. And unfortunately, our news media is not doing us any favors on this as of late. So we tend to have knee-jerk reactions. We sell the money when it's down usually. Then as the market went up 10%, now we decide to put the money back in because the market went back up. And so we tend to get that emotional drawstring back and forth. You know, the other part of it is time. Tom, it takes time to be able to research and to look at this stuff and to see what's going on and that whole bit. And you know what, folks? There's a lot of people that are out here that do that, but usually if you're retired, you want to retire. And usually if you're working, you don't have a chance. For example, I literally have CNBC on from 7 in the morning till usually about 6 o'clock at night, and I'm watching what's going on CNBC and the computers daily. Why? Well, that's kind of what I do for a living. And so a lot of people don't have the ability to do that. And then, of course, we do the reading and the studying for the weekend here. Hopefully we can share it to everybody listening. And then from a training standpoint, you know, this stuff, there's a lot of stuff to it. And the articles and the information are pretty good, but there's always new things that are coming out and new stuff in finance popping out telling us that how behavioral science has fallen to the place of the market, into the stock market, the technical things, the actual financials and ratios that go into the companies, and some of the training. You know, so for me, you know, I'm a Wisconsin finance guy and our University of Wisconsin Whitewater finance guy, let me say that. And so in that, if we want to do the research work, we can do it on our own. But the unfortunate part is a lot of us run out of those things. We actually want to live and have a life, unlike, you know, me who has to go fishing. But nonetheless, we have, you know, it's out there, folks. You can do that. But you have to make sure that you have the time, training, and the temperament to be able to do it. If you don't, search for a financial professional that can help you. There are a lot of good quality financial professionals that are out there. Well, unfortunately, there's a few that are not, but there's a lot of good quality financial professionals that are out there. And look for the ones who've been around for 20 years, 25 years, in my opinion. There are some great young guys that are out there. Don't get me wrong. We have some great young guys in our office. But, you know, some people have been around for a while, have been around for a while for a long time, and that's because they have taken care of clients over a long period of time, over many years. And that's some of the stuff that, in my opinion, you can look at. Also, look at the education that's behind folks. You know, Tom, in here, when I first started out in this business, there was no certified financial planner. It didn't exist at that particular point in time. You essentially had to talk to a person and say, you know, what's your background? What's your education? You had to go through all those types of questions. And the unfortunate part at that point in time, you could also have somebody who was licensed and just barely made it through high school, but they could have a securities license at that point in time, which is still the case, but they could have no background in a finance area other than what they've learned. Well, in my opinion, those guys tend to be more sales-oriented. Now, I'm not saying that there's not good quality guys that are out there. I'm just throwing it out there. But they tend to be more sales-oriented rather than planning-oriented. So along the way then, what happened is the CFP came out. And CFP started out, and still is very much, it's not an accredited university. In a sense, like the University of Wisconsin would be, it's more of a company that you take their test and they give you those credentials. And they're a great organization. They've turned into a fantastic organization. I'm not saying anything negative about them. But when you see the term CFP after somebody's name, folks, they went through some pretty good schooling and education to get that designation. And I would recommend looking at them. Does that mean they know everything? No. Does it mean they have a lot of experience? No, but they went through a lot of education to get that designation. And I think that makes a lot of sense looking at that. Just to try to look for somebody, to find somebody. Also, of course, talking to friends and relatives, whoever you're happy with. That always works out well.
All right, let's go back to the phone here this morning. Good morning. Who are we talking to?
Fred.
Hey, go ahead. You're on with Merle.
Good morning.
I just got an easy question for you this morning. If you're not 70 and a half yet, you're under that, and you have some pre-tax money out in your savings, you know, like your 401k sort of scenario, now, not necessarily to use, but would it be smart to start moving some of that to the post-tax side before you hit the mandatory age? And if so, is there a certain value that you should take, like, every year and get it out on the post-tax side for savings?
Okay, well, let me ask a couple of questions in here, because I think you might be asking two or three, not sure about that. I'm sorry, your first name again was?
Fred.
Fred, okay. Fred, how old are you?
60.
Okay, you're 60 right now. And so when you look at, you're still working, I'm assuming?
No, I'm not.
Oh, you're not. Okay, so you're retired. Is your 401k money still at your corporation or company where you worked?
Yes, it's out in a savings plan, 401k plan.
Okay. What happens eventually, Fred, when you want to start pulling that money out, that money inside of your 401k has to go to an IRA. No other way around it. It has to do that. So when you put it into that IRA, whether it's with your existing 401k, because the existing administrator of your 401k, let's say if it's a Fidelity account or maybe it's a Wells Fargo account or something like that, they'll certainly turn it into an IRA should you choose to, and we can certainly have a conversation on whether that's the best idea or not the best idea, but they'll turn it into an IRA. But almost always, and I've never seen it not happen, I'm not saying that it doesn't, but I've never seen it not happen, when you roll that money from your existing 401k into the IRA, what happens is the current 401k administrator will carve out that pre-tax dollars, and they'll send you a check for it.
Okay, and then also, you're right, there's two questions of that, and then some that already is in an IRA. Is it smart to move that to a post-tax side before you reach the mandatory age, or to start moving it to grab some tax savings, say, between the ages? 70 and a half, and where I'm at today.
Now, okay, so the questions would be then, is inside of the IRA, you've had some after-tax contributions that you put inside of the IRA.
They're actually pre-tax.
I'm sorry. Pre-tax contributions are no problem. You can start taking out whatever you want to. But if you had some money inside of IRAs, in the old days, you could put some excess contributions inside of IRAs. It's typically not done anymore because if you have excess contributions, most people put them into the Roth now, Roth IRAs instead. But there was a time where you could have excess contributions go into your existing IRAs. And to keep track of that excess contribution, you had to file a form. And, boy, my memory's going here, Fred. I think it was an 8256, I think was the form. If there's any tax preparers out there, let me know what the form is. I'm guessing here. I think it was 8256.
Well, I guess the question is, though, does he need to move the pre-tax money into post-tax money before he turns 70 and a half? Is that optimum, or can he wait?
You know, maybe I'm making this a little bit more complicated than I think. Fred, your pre-tax money is just simply your IRAs. That's just the IRA itself. You don't have any post-tax money inside of your IRAs. Am I correct?
That's correct.
Okay, well, in here, all right, then I'm making this more complex than I actually think. I apologize. In here, is there any reason to do it? Well, you know, that's entirely up to you. The best thing that we do is take a look at what your income is. Take a look at your income, your dollars, and say, if I take out an additional $5,000 a year of money out of my IRAs, what will that do to my tax bracket? Will that jump my tax bracket up? If I am at a low tax bracket now, will I stay inside that low tax bracket if I take off additional $5,000? And so those are the questions you have to take a look at along the way. You know, is there a benefit to it? You know, there can be. I like the idea is that if we're not using that money from a retirement standpoint, we think it's just going to go off to the next generation or we're going to use it in many years from now, there could be some benefits if we're in a lower tax bracket to convert that into a Roth IRA. We can do a conversion from the traditional IRA into a Roth IRA. Of course, we have some income things in that hole, but you have to look at. But if you convert it into that Roth IRA, you can still have that money grow for the future, but now you can have it grow tax-free. And tax-free, of course, is better than paying taxes. And so there could be some benefit to that, but you want to make sure you take a look at your numbers, what's your income, what's the intent with the money, when do you suspect you might want to use it, is it going to go to the next generation? All those types of questions start popping into it. But there's no requirement that we have to start taking the money out, of course, until 70 and a half, in which at that point in time we have to start taking out a small percentage, usually about 3.5%, actually it's 3.649 in that first year. We have to start taking the money out and paying taxes on it. So if we can reduce that amount of money, it, of course, is going to make that RMD a lot easier and make it more tax efficient later on for the kids when the second of us passes away.
Okay, well, thank you.
All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 715-845-2155. I guess let's just keep rolling here, and we'll take our break before the top of the hour here since we only have a few minutes to go. I was reading, since we were talking about Warren Buffett earlier, I was reading another article about him where he made some written suggestions to his heirs about what to do with their inheritance. Did you see this?
I just saw the outside of it, so I'd be interested to see why. I think I have a theory, but go ahead.
It sounds radical even for Warren Buffett. In an annual letter to Berkshire shareholders dated February 28th, he suggests that after all of his Berkshire shares are distributed to charity, take the cash, he says, and buy index funds. I'm quoting now, my advice to the trustee couldn't be more simple. Put 10% of the cash in short-term government bonds and 90% in a very low-cost S&P 500 index fund. And he wasn't even suggesting his own. He suggested Vanguard's.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of strange, isn't it? I mean, 90-10, is that something that the average investor would look at?
Well, remember, Warren Buffett is looking at this in a long-term view. But remember, I go back to an actual client of mine we had in our Milwaukee office when I had an office down there. This gentleman was a post office employee. I mean, he had a route and walked around. And, of course, he had, at that point in time, an $800,000 home in Elm Grove. Well, how did a person who's a postal carrier have an $800,000 home? Well, since the time he was 15 years old, he was really gifted at work in the stock market and that whole bit and saved. His parents had to sign for accounts. So by the time he left high school, he was already worth $250,000 from doing his own trading. Brilliant, brilliant trader in that whole bit. And so along the way, I said, why did you work for the post office? He said, great benefits, and I love the exercise. I mean, great guy. But I would do trades for them, and I would do options trades for them. Now, folks, I am not by any means a stretch of the imagination an expert on options, and if you called me and said, Merle, can you do some options for me, I'll say no, because I don't do them. But he was an expert at it, but he needed somebody licensed to do it. So in our office, he came to one of our classes. We came to get along pretty good. Well, I would do some trades for him. I'd do some stuff. I'd get some research for him when he needed back and forth. And when he finally said, I've had enough and I've retired, he took his portfolio, which is really complex, and he said, Merle, here, you do it. I'm done. That's what he means. He says, I'm going to retire. I don't want to do this anymore. So we took over his portfolio. We made his portfolio very conservative, very simplistic, very easy. He was happier than a lark. I mean, he was just really happy. So in this, you think about it. Here's Warren Buffett, who his whole life has been doing nothing but thinking about numbers, money, et cetera, has a long history of doing a great job from retirement and everything else. And unless his kids are doing what he does, what are they going to do? Well, so he's thinking, well, the next best thing is to not do anything. Just put it in and let it go.
Yeah, he suggests, he bought this farm outside of Omaha, and he suggests to run your portfolio like you would a farm and watch the garden grow. That invested in something very conservative, very simple, low cost, and just let it grow from there.
The machine that Warren Buffett built, you forget, is every bit as measured and studied as the S&P 500, because he has built such a machine. There's almost a Warren Buffett index that people look at, because everything compares to what Warren Buffett is doing.
Why not?
So if he's not there, the next best thing would be the... It's, maybe in Warren Buffett's mind, the next best thing would be second place, which would be the S&P 500.
All right. Well,
that tongue in cheek.
We are out of time here for today, but if folks want to get a hold of you on Monday, how can they do that?
We will be here bright and early in lovely Wausau, Wisconsin, at 3rd Avenue and Bridge Street. Stop on in, see if you can catch me for a cup of coffee running around. Give us a call locally, 715-849-3600. Toll free outside the Wausau area at 866-355-5100, or find us online at KelchandAssociates.com.
We'll talk to you again next week. We've got Badger basketball coming up this afternoon. The Badgers taking on Michigan State in the Big Ten Tournament. Pregame show at 2 o'clock right here on WSAU. The news and the polka shows are on the way next.
Parent in Wisconsin knows the importance of being able to draw up an activity that'll get you out of the house for a couple of hours. But it needs to be affordable. It needs to be family-friendly. Above all, it needs to be fun. Now, let's talk about high school sports. Bang for your buck, school sports provide the perfect game plan for your family. You'll enjoy all of the drama and excitement competitive sports offer. You'll be supporting the future leaders of our community in a meaningful way. Best of all, you can take the entire family without breaking the bank. Heck, you won't even dent it. Now, enough chalk talk. Let's get out there and see what's playing at the high school in your community. School sports. Good for our kids, good for our community. This message presented by the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Are you thinking about getting your GED diploma? Well, here at the GED Pep Talk Center, we've got a number of pep talks that can motivate you.
Sometimes things don't always turn out the way you want them to.
You know that feeling? People look at you and don't believe in you.
You want some gentle encouragement. Then you're on your way to your GED diploma and a better life.
But I know you're probably just a little bit nervous.
You can find it in yourself to take that first step.
You can improve your future.
You can do this. I know you can.
You need to start pushing yourself.
Now get your game face on and take the first step towards a better life.
Hurry up. Don't make me repeat myself.
Whatever level of motivation you need to get your GED diploma, we've got a pep talk that's right for you. Call 1-877-38-YOUR-GED or visit yourged.org for your pep talk and find free GED classes in your area. GED is a registered trademark of the American Council on Education. Brought to you by Dollar General.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then keep your home smoke-free. Because secondhand smoke can trigger your child's asthma attacks. So make a new house rule. No smoking indoors. Even when the kids are out of the house or in another room. It can make a big difference to a child with asthma. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Visit noattacks.org. Because no child should feel like a fish out of water. Brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Tensions in Ukraine escalate. Economic...
Excuse me, but I'm trying to pick my bracket here. Okay. But thanks for the info.
Sorry, man, but, you know, the Ukraine has this little crisis happening and...
Yeah, that's some scary stuff. But thanks for the info.
Mr. President, we're just trying to remind the listener that you can get news updates at the top and the bottom of the hour to keep informed.
I appreciate the info. Okay?
Okay.
Oh, I sliced it.
WSAU and WSAU.com.
News, talk, sports. WSAU Wausau, WSAU FM, Rudolph Stevens.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. The disappearance of a Malaysian Airlines flight a week ago today is now being treated as an intentional act. Malaysia's prime minister says somebody shut off the plane's communications deliberately and that it got wherever it is hours after last contact.
They have now...